You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
More of your phone calls coming up, 855-242-PAUL. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. If in case you missed it, about 30 minutes ago, we had Josh Heupel, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. A little sigh of relief for him as the Volunteers found out what was going to happen with their NCAA investigation. It had come to a conclusion. They were waiting to figure out what the punishment was. And the biggest headline, no bowl ban. Okay. Josh Heupel joined us earlier today and said, hey, we talked to the Zoom, to the players, to the coaches. This is behind us. Glad to see that we worked together with the NCAA. They hit us with some stuff, but it's nothing that they can't contend. In fact, they've been contending with this over the last 2.5 years. They've taken that next step as arguably the second-best team in the SEC East behind Georgia throughout all of this. So the question is, does this unlock a different level for Josh Heupel in recruiting? We'll see. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Peggy is in Tennessee. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Peggy?
Yes, sir. Aye. Good news. Good news.
You're a happy camper today? Why is that?
Yes. 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 And I didn't find out till I was, I was on hold there. I'd actually called in and talked to a young man. I believe his name's Roman Harper that was sitting in. I believe it was last Monday. And I had 3 questions I asked him, and that was one of them. And, to be on hold and get to hear that interview with Josh, awesome job, by the way. Awesome, awesome job. And if he's listening on his way home or back, I just want to say thank you to him for taking a chance on us in amongst, that cloud, so to speak, that's definitely been hanging over us. I don't even want to say a cloud. I want to say the baggage that he took a chance on, being underneath. And I'm having some kind of, my spirit has been lifted. It's wonderful. Happy, yes, happy, happy, happy. I was going to go in a whole other direction, but I'm so happy. I don't even want to. It doesn't even matter about any of that, Real House Husbands of Alabama that we usually have this little back and forth with. I'm so happy about that. I don't even care.
Peggy, thank you so much for the phone call.
Take a breath.
You are fantastic, and thank you for the kind words, and good luck to your Vols this year, right?
Yes, you're doing a fantastic job. I want to tell you that. I've been listening to everybody that's, giving Paul this little break before the media, or media dies down there, and y'all are doing a real good job. Don't listen to anybody that's telling you that you're not or that you're talking too much or this or that. Hey, you're doing really good.
Thank you, Peggy.
Really
you just made my day. Thank you, Peggy in Tennessee. If you want to agree with Peggy, you can call us. If you don't agree with Peggy, you think I'm bad job, we're not going to take that phone call. 855-242-PAUL is that number. But Peggy is right. Like, Peggy, this was – Josh Heupel didn't have to take this job, right? And people said, Danny White's making the easy hire and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? It was the right hire. He was the right guy for the job, led them through this to a whole lot of success. Not a lot of guys could do with that. And the reason why is because Josh Heupel brings a style of offense that's fun, is exciting, got the Tennessee fans back up and ready to rock and roll. And he did this under these clouds. And so now that part is done. So, again, a lot of credit to Josh Heupel, not for coming on this radio show and speaking with me about it, but how he has handled this over the last 2.5 years when he didn't have to. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Anthony in Florida, thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Peter, how are you? Great job. Great interview with Mr. Heupel. That was good.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Peter, I have a comment and a question. The issue being boosters. One of the things that's always troubled me, even when I played, was there's always boosters. Most, I should say, not always, but there's boosters associated with most teams, and the purpose of those boosters is, from my understanding, when I played, was they would hand us each an envelope at the end of the month, and you know we would get a few bucks that we could spend around. And I never knew whether, to be quite honest with you, I never knew if it was permissible, not permissible. So what is the role of boosters other than pretending that, you know, they're part of a big club? And, you know, where does their money go? Because it's all about the money.
So it's a fascinating question, Anthony, because those are $100 handshakes, right? That was always the idea of, hey, somebody get an envelope, thanks, you know, go take your, you know, to go take your girlfriend out for a steak dinner or a burger or whatever, or put gas in your car, whatever it might be, right? Those have been happening forever, since the dawn of college football or dawn of anything, right? So, but the idea of a booster, what does it do? How do you define it today? I don't know how the hell you define booster, right? And traditionally, it was a booster was a guy that said, I'm going to donate. I got a boatload of money, and I'm going to donate money when you're trying to build the new football facility or the new stadium or hire this. Now, I think it's a little more complicated because boosters, they're not allegedly supposed to get involved with NIL, or in some states they are, some states they can't. I think the boosters now will look at this and go, if I got $50,000 to give, is it better for me to put, you know, $50,000 towards fielding fund, or put $50,000 towards a collective that may help keep an athlete there one more year because of name, image, and likeness and those opportunities? I know if I was a booster, I'd put more money into a collective than I would just a traditional building fund. But that's kind of the war within the worlds that's happening right now in college athletics.
Yeah, doesn't that? But they'll give a big advantage to the more richer and more, I would say, prosperous
schools. But listen, the rich have always been rich, Anthony. Yeah, I mean, the rich have always been rich.
Well, I know the rich always get richer, but, you know, it doesn't keep it. Well, whatever. To me, it just reeks of corruption. But, you know, what do I know?
I mean, Anthony, listen, the idea of reeking of corruption, one could say, all right, well, is it fair that Georgia has the greatest football facility? I'm making this up. Or LSU has the greatest training facility, or this. Like, that is, that's quote-unquote fair, but that's an advantage that the rich get richer. I would argue that in name, image, and likeness, there adds a different parity level, because now all of a sudden – programs that had not had traditional success may find themselves in being able to pair boosters and name, image, and likeness in legal ways that helps the squads. And I think that's why we're seeing kind of college football, what I call 3.0, start right now with name, image, and likeness. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Bob is in North Carolina. What's up, Bob?
Hey, thanks so much for having me today. I just want to give you kudos for doing a great job filling in for Paul. And I'm about as ecstatic as Peggy was a while ago with what just came out with the NCAA. I'm super pumped to have Josh Heupel as our coach and to watch what he's doing. I've been a ball fan all my life. I'm a 65-year-old guy, and I go to a lot of the games, and I've got several circles on my. I'm going to be in Tuscaloosa when we beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I'm going to be in Knoxville when we take the two-time reigning champs down in Knoxville this year. And I'm personally going to help put another set of goalposts in the Tennessee River. I'm on all these forums and stuff, and I read all this crap from all these fans. And they say that we're living in the past. Hey, SEC, Tennessee is here. We're back, baby. And we've got Josh Heupel, and this is going to help with the recruiting. We've already got a great class coming in. There's some other players that are pending, and I believe we're going to get a bunch of them. And we've just started. And, hey, you guys, Oklahoma, Texas, I'm calling you guys out. We're coming for your candy. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, all the rest of you, we're coming, baby. We are coming. We're coming hot, and we're going to win and win big. Book it, baby. Book it.
There it is, Bob. Thank you. In North Carolina, huge Vol fans, obviously excited, like a lot of Vol fans should be today when you found out no bowl ban. Another quick phone call. Bubba's in North Carolina. What's up, Bubba? Bubba, what's up, man? Oh, Bubba, you had your chance. We'll get you back on hold here in just a minute. Let's go Steve in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Steve, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
I'm sorry. I'm just calling now. Listen, I want to put this out there. I have nothing against Tennessee. I like Tennessee. I got family in Ottawa. I love it. They are such nice people, great fans. Love everything about them. But I'm going to pivot here to what the real issue is, and you have to agree with me, and I spoke to one of your people that took my call. I know she agrees with me, is the fact that if this were the Miami Hurricanes, University of Miami, this would be all over ESPN, all over social media. The fact that they only got a slap on the wrist, which, again, I'm happy for Tennessee. I really am. But you know, if this was the University of Miami or the NCAA, they would waste no time having ESPN, their call dog, saying we need to ban this program. Paul Feinbaum would have came up from his trip down in Mexico, wherever he's at, and he would have did something. Stephen A. Smith would have been on there. Everybody would have been calling for Miami's head. They would have been calling us drug dealers again. They've been calling us all these names. And it just baffles me. And it's so bad, the bias against Miami, that when the NIL thing kicked off last year, Miami was one of the first programs at the forefront of it. Did yep. everything perfectly clean. And the NCAA, of all the schools, who did they come down to audit? Miami. It just baffles me. Again, nothing against fantasy. I like SEC football. But that's all I got to say. And hopefully I'm going to hang up. But I want to hear your thoughts.
Steve, thank you for the phone call. Of course, I mean, listen, ESPN did not only one but two documentaries about the U. Now, there were a lot of great parts about the U, but there was also the Nevin Shapiro days, the violations that they had. And again, one of the reasons why probably the U was hated so much is the fact that they were really damn good. People fear what they don't understand and hate what they can't conquer. That's the theory of man. And that's what it was for Miami Hurricanes, that it was loud, it was brash, it was in your face, and they won a whole hell of a lot. Then when you dialed into it, it was like, well, there was some stuff that was going on. But I've never had an irrational hatred towards Miami. Thought it was always a great brand, great for college football. I like characters. Like, that's what makes college football so great, is that we have characters. But with that being said, that you need to be held accountable when you don't do the right things. And I'm looking at it, and you say, well, you know, no one's talking about Tennessee and stuff like that. I'm looking at the front page of ESPN.com right now, and the headline reads, Tennessee avoids bowl ban, fined over $8 million. And this is what people are talking about today, right? And again, it's okay if you're a Tennessee fan to be happy about this, happy that Josh Heupel took your job, happy that there is no bowl ban, okay? But at the same point, you have to also look at this and go, there were rules that were broken, okay? And you need to deal with it. You'll deal with it in scholarship reductions. You'll deal with it in unofficial visits and official visits. You're going to have to pay $8 million. At the same point, not a single soul that was involved in that is no longer affiliated. And guess what? The reality of it is you got a five-year probationary period, okay? Can't tell me that they're going to be sitting there and all eyes are going to be on Tennessee right now to be like, hey, if you even mess up accidentally, that's back on you. Nobody wants that. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. More of your phone calls coming up next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum, talking a lot about Tennessee, finding out what their punishment was going to be from the NCAA. 5-year probation, bunch of show causes given out, including 6 years for former head coach of the Volunteers, Jeremy Pruitt. And, of course, earlier today we had Coach Josh Heupel on the show just talking a little bit about, hey, now it's time to, you know, quote unquote, move forward. These are all former people that were associated with the program that are no longer associated with the program, and now we can go forward winning and competing for championships. Let's go, John from Florida. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, John?
How's it going? Hey, I just got to say, man, I kind of disagree with this. Not so much with what the NCAA did with Tennessee, but just the NCAA at all. They had a great opportunity to get in front of NIL. They dropped the ball there. The transfer portal, no control over that. I mean, let's just be honest. The NCAA, they haven't been doing their job, man.
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't know, you know, as far as when it – actually, I do disagree for just one second. The NCAA did not do its job by thinking forward, by thinking progressively when it came to name, image, and likeness and the rules that surround a billion-dollar sport in college football. I actually think the NCAA does a really good job of administrating baseball and softball and volleyball and golf and tennis. Like 96% of what they do, actually, I think the NCAA does a pretty damn good job. The problem is the 4%, which is the billion-dollar industry of college football, they tried to treat it as the same as water polo. And that wasn't the case. And you're damn right, John. They did not do a very good job. That's why they find themselves in a pickle where nobody really, honestly, respects them anymore.
And I also think that, and something else too, and I know your pick for the SEC West this year is LSU. Man, I'm riding with Bama this year, and I'm a Georgia fan. And I just think that this year, I think Bama, and this isn't some sort of like retribution tour or anything like that and so forth. I just don't see Bama going down this year in the West. I think they're going to be a lot better this year, and I think they're going to come out the West.
John, thank you for the phone call. And again, it would not surprise me. Right? It would not surprise me if Bama is the one in Atlanta. Now, it would surprise me if it was anybody other than Georgia, because I still think Georgia is what Bama used to be in the fact of his wash, rinse, repeat. Okay, this 5-star is the next 5-star, meet the next 5-star, right? So it's not a, by any means, I would be shocked if Alabama did it. I just go look in what I've seen with my eyes, what I saw up close and personal, in Baton Rouge last year, and I go to this quarterback situation. Would you rather have Jaden Daniels coming back or named to be determined in the middle of fall practice? Well, you're clearly going to say the 3,000 yards and Jaden Daniels and the success, right? Okay. Are you going to say that you rather have the coordinators for LSU in Dimbrock and Matt House, who have been there a year? Okay, they've already been there in Baton Rouge. They're already developing their talent. Or brand new coordinator, at least new, in Tommy Reese, as far as an offensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa. Or Kevin Steele as your DC, who's been around but still new to that program this year. You're going to give the clear advantage over to LSU. Coaching-wise, as much as I love Brian Kelly, Nick Saban's the greatest coach in the history of the game. So you lean that way, and you lean the fact of that way for Alabama because that game's going to be in Tuscaloosa. But when it comes to top to bottom, there's way too many question marks for me to put Bama at one in the West. There's not nearly as many question marks for me to safely put LSU ahead of the West. Does it play out that way? I don't know. That's the beauty of this game. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. Hank in Alabama. What's up, Hank?
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
How's your summer going, man? You having a good one?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But I've got a question for you about this thing that's going on, this thing that just came down for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it, Philip Fulmer hired Jeremy Pruitt. He had a choice to get Jeremy Pruitt or Kevin Steele, but he picked Jeremy Pruitt over Kevin Steele, even though Kevin Steele is an alumnus of Tennessee. And the only reason he picked Jeremy Pruitt was because we were going for a national championship, and he wanted to do everything he could to keep Alabama from getting a national championship that year. He didn't stop us from getting a national championship that year, but evidently when Jeremy Pruitt left to go to Tennessee, things could have changed if we had had Jeremy Pruitt for the last 3 or 4 years. But my question is, how in the heck does Philip Fulmer get to ride off into the sunset? And he's resigned now, retired, or whatever you want to call it, but he's still getting paid. It's either, I read this 3 or 4 months ago, so forgive me if my memory's gone, it's not right. But see, he's either getting $37,000 a month or $137,000 a month till December of this year. Mm. And yet now they hit Jeremy Pruitt with this 6-year thing where he cannot do anything for the next 6 years. And if you don't believe that Philip Fulmer told Jeremy Pruitt, do whatever you've got to do to get some recruits in here that can win, then I've got some property, some oceanfront property in Kansas to sell you.
Hank, thank you for the phone call, and I am very aware that there is no oceanfront property in Kansas. I think that was a George Strait song back in the day.
Well, they said Arizona, but Arizona, I just put right, it in yeah. Kansas,
but,
because
no,
Kansas is in the exact middle of the 48 contingent state.
Yes.
But you're not going to tell me that Philip Fulmer did not tell Jeremy Pruitt, because nothing like this went on with Jeremy Pruitt when he was at Alabama. And all of a sudden, when he got under the tutelage of Philip Fulmer, then boom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bridge too far for me to go, Hank. Thank you for the phone call. I have no idea. Nor, I would imagine, had something along that, those details and those allegations, had that been the case, then perhaps that would have been something that came out when the NCAA investigated into this situation. I don't believe that to be the case, right? But when it came down to it, Jeremy Pruitt was hired by Philip Fulmer. And remember, Philip Fulmer kind of swooped all in. Remember, they had hired Mike Leach. Mike Leach was hired. It was verbally agreed to. Mike Leach was headed to Rocky Top. And all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, 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 John Curry, get back over here. Well, yeah, we're not going to do that. Fulmer took over. There's a list of 16 names. We're going to get into that in just a couple of moments later in the show, including guys like T. Martin and Hugh Freeze, Will Healy, former Austin Peay guy who was over at Charlotte for a while, was listed on that list. And they decided to go with Jeremy Pruitt. He wasn't ready for the job. He frankly wasn't. And now he's put in such a situation where I don't know what job he's going to be getting other than an analyst job over the next 6 years. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. Also, talk a little name, image, and likeness in a crazy story out of New Mexico. All of that coming up. Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show as we get ready to cruise into Nashville, Music City. I think maybe that's where Paul went on vacation. He went down there a couple of days. He's playing a couple of sets, a couple of honky-tonks. You see that for Paul Feinbaum? See if we can get him like doing some karaoke this week at Media Days. That's my goal for the week, see if I can get Paul to do that. I'm Peter Burns. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Of course, the big news, Tennessee and Josh Heupel. That program, understanding that there will be no postseason ban. So monster news for Vol fans. You guys have been great on the phone calls today talking about the NCAA and Tennessee. Want to switch gears a little bit right now, and this story is crazy. Daniel Libet of Sportico, and very rarely do headlines just knock me over, but as a former college golfer, anytime I read a headline that says Booster Golf Trip puts an ex-college athletic director on trial, you had me at hello, Daniel. So hello, sir. How are you?
It's good to be with you on this Tennessee NCAA Infraction Day. Something else to talk about, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, man, it's 366 days a year on the leap years of what we talk a little college football. But, you know, I mean, this plays into the idea of athletic directors and fundraising. So for those who haven't had a chance to read this story, give us some background. How in the world does a Booster Golf Trip end up getting an AD maybe thrown in jail or at least on trial?
Yeah, well, just to kind of even put the context, a finer point on it, this is almost unprecedented in terms of, you know, when we think about all the various scandals in college athletics over the last 50 years, there's only been one or two other instances, depending on how you slice it, that I've been able to find, and I've been digging, where an athletic director, a Division I athletic director, has actually faced criminal prosecution for something related to their job. And the most, you know, notorious of the ones in recent history, of course, was Tim Curley, the former athletic director at Penn State, who presided over the Jerry Sandusky scandal and pled to a child endangerment charge. But in this case, this deals with a former New Mexico athletic director, Paul Krebs. Prior to then, Krebs had been the athletic director at Bowling Green, where he made his name giving Urban Meyer, Urban's first head coaching position there. Mm-hmm. Krebs had been at New Mexico for a number of years. In 2015, he takes a number of boosters on a golf trip, a fundraising golf trip to Scotland. And this was a kind of common thing. He does this, he arranges this through a company called Anthony Travel, which does travel arrangements for many, not most, Division I athletic departments. And that was it. It seemed like simple enough. And then 2 years ago, local media in New Mexico began digging into this and raised questions about how the trip was paid for and whether or not public money was used to pay for some of the boosters in a way that might have violated local laws, state laws in New Mexico. And this is at a time when the New Mexico athletic department is under a lot of controversy for all different kinds of things, and there's a lot of scrutiny, and all of a sudden the attorney general gets interested and and presses charges.
I mean, my man was just trying to go on a golf trip when things weren't going well with a bunch of boosters, and all of a sudden this feels, Daniel, as a story of the crime is not nearly as bad as the cover-up. Now, doesn't seem like a great crime, but is it more of the crime, alleged crime, or is it more of what steps this athletic director took to cover it up that, that really got us to this point?
Yeah, it's sort of a little bit of both. It just seems strange in the context of this week. I mean, as a thing to prosecute an athletic director for. I mean, I wrote about this a lot at the time it was happening, and in the swirl, if you were in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the time, it just felt like the entire athletic department was on fire, and maybe there should be some sort of severe punishment for somebody. But certainly, you know, in this week where we're talking about the hazing incident, not even incident, the hazing scandal at Northwestern, mm-hmm. that brought down Pat Fitzgerald, and all of these other different scandals that have happened in college athletics, it seems like fairly small potatoes. And yet this is the guy who is facing, you know, I don't know that it's a certainty if he's convicted, but he's certainly facing the prospect of jail time over something. So, yeah, I mean, I think his error was he was trying to save face, which is not unusual for college athletic directors. And there's reasons for this. They're sort of constantly trying to save face. And in this case, it just bit him. He made a lot of moves to cover his tracks. That seemed to only breed greater suspicion, and then ultimately the suspicion of state authorities. And he turned something that was, you know, effectively he just didn't have enough boosters who wanted to go on this golf trip. Okay, it's a small embarrassment,
right?
But something that certainly shouldn't get somebody fired for. And he just went down his own rabbit hole, and now he's going on trial on Monday.
Daniel Libich talking about the story of former New Mexico Lobo AD and about a booster golf trip gone awry and then having to do it. Daniel, it always surprises me how much of this is done on company email. Like it's just, and especially with universities as far as having open records and whatnot. Like every time I see a story that crosses my desk about something along these lines, it shocks me. I guess nothing should shock me anymore in this world.
Well, I mean, and as a reporter who constantly makes public records requests, I appreciate the fact that, you know, those of us who cover college sports, for the most part, have this entree into what's going on behind the scenes, because a lot of these universities we are concerned with are public universities. I don't think there's a lot of ways. I think athletic departments, in particular at public universities, have gotten wise to the ways that reporters are constantly making records requests, and have tried to limit the amount of communications they do over email, let's say. But then again, you know, these are big bureaucracies, and oftentimes that's the only way to communicate. And even as coaches and administrators are trying their best to avoid, you know, a reporter snooping out something that they don't want through a FOIA request, you know, you're not going to be able to always make a phone call. And but yeah, I mean, we're talking about something that took place now 7-8 years ago. I think everyone in athletic departments has gotten much more wary of using email, work email, for better or worse, for the public's betterment or for the worse of it.
Just crazy. Daniel Livett joining us here from Sportico. Last question for you. You wrote this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, obviously we have Texas A&M here in this conference in the SEC footprint, but we're going to be adding Texas as well. And it was Eyes Off Texas, NIL law, latest to restrict public access to records. So we're talking about journalists doing their job, which we all need, finding of these open record requests. But there's something about how the NIL world is kind of shaping up right now, and at least in the state of Texas.
Yeah, well, this was an issue from the start of NIL going into effect, which was, you know, the state laws often require this, that athletes disclose to their schools what deals they're making, the amounts of the deals and the structures of them, and that this is important so that there's not a conflict between, you know, NCAA rules, school interests, athlete interests, and so forth. Okay, so then the schools are in possession of these contracts, these, you know, private contracts between an athlete and a company. What is their responsibility if a member of the public or a journalist asks to see those contracts? And it was a gray area. There's certainly an argument to be made that this has nothing to do with public business. These aren't even public employees. You know, they're not given employee status. These are just students who have disclosed information, and this should be protected by student privacy laws. And then there's another, a case to be made that, no, there is a public disclosure requirement of this information, and there's a public interest in knowing what athletes are making or who they're making deals with, especially with concerns over gambling and other potential things that might come into play here. So, a number of states, Texas being now the largest to do so, have been explicit in their reformed NIL laws of late that, whether or not these NIL contracts should be disclosed. But, the issue of transparency in the NIL world has not been resolved. This is a complicated and open-ended question about, balancing the interests of individual athletes and their private business dealings with whatever the public interest is in these public universities and the way that their athletic departments are operating and how NIL is coming into play there.
I was going to say nobody understands what's going on in name, image, and likeness, including the people that have created the laws, the people that are navigating the laws, congressmen, and, of course, even our listeners as well. Daniel, it's great stuff, and I love stuff like that you guys do at Sportico. It's you can follow him on Twitter at Daniel Libet. We appreciate the time, and it's just a crazy story, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
There it is, Daniel Libet joining us from Sportico. Always love, just random. Poor guy just wanted to go to Scotland with a bunch of his buddies, and he's like, nobody showed up. Now I got to give some more money back. One quick phone call before we take a break. Joel in Alabama. What's up, Joel?
Peter.
What's up?
My all-time favorite host when Paul ain't there.
My man. But I didn't like that. You had a tone in your voice. Like you
today.
Were upset with
but
me, Joel.
Not today.
Oh,
not today,
no.
Peter.
What
not
happened?
You act like you didn't forget who Nick Saban is.
He's the greatest coach in the history of college football. I've said that. I know Coach Saban.
Yeah, but unless you're talking about Georgia, you're talking about Alabama. Ain't nobody else going to beat him.
So you
I don't
you
see
got
why y'all can't. Look, Nick Saban won the next championship with Jacob Coker.
I like Jake.
Everybody like... in the media, all the Alabama fans think we don't have a quarterback. Well, Nick Saban knows whether he got a quarterback or not.
What, does he? Like... Are we sure? Like, he just added somebody in the transfer portal. We 100% sure that right now, like on Monday or whatever, Coach Saban comes to Nashville for media days. If I ask Coach Saban, you got a quarterback, he's going to give me an answer, Joel? I don't think he is.
Yes. He will give you an answer. Well, he's not going to give you an answer now, not if you ask him at media days, because his quarterback has not been picked yet. But he knows who the quarterback going to be.
The question
when the
here.
When the last time you seen him without a quarterback?
Been a long time, my friend. Been a while.
I was talking to a caller earlier that said they don't even have a running back.
Joel, what I look at Alabama football this year. And I don't know. Maybe Nick Saban knows, and he's all just hoodwinking us all and just being like, I got my guy. Don't worry about it. I look at this and go, and you talked about Jake Coker. You could talk about Greg McElroy. I mean, you go back and look at the stats that GMAC had. I love him to death. GMAC was a great quarterback for that team because he took care of the football, quote-unquote game manager. But guess what? You needed that because of the way the style that Alabama played football this year, and it won a national title, okay? And so I look at that. And I go, can Alabama win a national title by playing good defense, run the ball? Hell yeah, they can. Absolutely. All I'm saying is that until I see it against LSU or until I see it, and especially until I see it in week two against Texas, I have questions. That's all. Not bad-mouthing Alabama. I'm not saying they're going 4-8. He's the greatest coach in the history of the game. Joel, I trust Coach Saban. I get it. But I think there's a lot of question marks around this team, and that's why I'm looking forward to hearing from him coming up next week. I got to run. We're up against a commercial break. Thank you for the phone call, my man. 855-242-PAUL. We've got open phone lines. You want to get in, follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN, here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I just never would have thought I'd heard Juvenile and back that thing up on the Paul Feinbaum show. But yet here we are, people. No rules in 2023. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. Earlier today, I talked to Josh Heupel, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, as they found out their fate. It wasn't a horrible one for the NCAA about that investigation after Jeremy Pruitt and his staff were found some 100-plus violations. Here's what he had to say when, whether or not he was excited about that a positive resolution had finally been achieved.
We knew it was coming at some point for a while now. We got word late yesterday that we would definitely have a conclusion to it today, and excited that that we were able to reach a great conclusion here. And our administration's worked for 2.5 years on trying to find a resolution to this. They found out about what was going on, self-reported it, and been transparent. And we wanted to protect our athletes and make sure that they had an opportunity to compete for championships, and we're able to do that, and really happy that we get a chance to put this behind us and move forward now.
All right, so when you hear from Josh Heupel, I'm a firm believer, and I already knew this going in, that I thought he was the right job for the right guy for the job, right? It was explosive offense. He had a pedigree. People knew his name in college football. He was well-liked by the athletic director, Danny White, when he got hired. And remember, he sat in Danny White's office, I would imagine. They had these conversations going, man, there was some bad stuff going on. I don't know what's going to happen. Might be postseason bowl ban. You're going to have to deal with less scholarships. We're going to deal with all of this. And Josh Heupel said, I wanted to be there. Like, this is where I want to be. And guess what? Look at how far he's gotten Tennessee right now. Now, do they take a step back? I don't know. I'm really curious to see. Yeah, Joe Milton, I don't think he's Hendon Hooker, but has he grown? Is he a better quarterback than he was last year? We'll see. Ramel Keaton's back. Brew McCoy's back. Squirrel White will now take over Jalen Wyatt's role. This Dante Thornton kid out of Oregon is going to be a stud.